Thank you, ladies. What a privilege we have to have all these who use their abilities to praise the Lord. What a blessing. Numbers chapter 19. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the law of the clean and the unclean. If you have read your Bible, you know that that is a very prominent theme in the Old Testament, the clean and the unclean. Yet it's also a theme of the New Testament. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. New Testament doctrine as well, based upon the Old Testament. And Numbers chapter 19 gives us an insight into the provision for uncleanness, the ordinance of the red heifer, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who cleanses us from the defilement of sin. And we'll read parts of this chapter. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law, which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin, her flesh, her blood, with her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet, and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the even. And he that burned her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the even. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, lay them up without the camp, in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel, for water of separation. It is a purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it, that's the water of separation, on the third day. And on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of anything that is dead, and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law. When a man dieth in a tent, all that come into the tent and all that are in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it, is unclean. And whosoever toucheth that which is slain with a sword in the open field, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be clean 7 days. And for an unclean person they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put there into a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon the vessels and upon the person that were there and upon him that toucheth a bone or one slain or one dead or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day. And on the seventh day he shall purify himself and wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean at even. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. And it shall be a perpetual statute unto them, that he that sprinkleth the water of separation shall wash his clothes, and he that toucheth the water of separation shall be unclean until even. And whatsoever the unclean person toucheth shall be unclean, and the soul that toucheth it shall be unclean until even. The unclean and the clean. It's amazing the specifics of and the technicalities and the description of the Bible about uncleanness. Remember, the Bible says, told Adam and Eve, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And death is the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. And death in the Bible is a result of sin coming into the world. It's a result of man rebelling against God. It is not God's original intended person for purpose for man to die. And so we find in the Bible death, and that which is centered around death is uncleanness. If you go, you touch a dead person, you're unclean. If you go into a tent where a person, unclean person died, the tent is unclean and you're unclean. And you can't worship the Lord. And if you do go and worship the Lord when you're unclean, the Bible says you'll be cut off from the nation of Israel. Wow. That's pretty serious stuff. Now, we have some principles here that the Bible tells us about. And the Bible uses the physical in the Old Testament to teach spiritual lessons. Obviously, the first spiritual lesson is the reality and the horribleness of death. For as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we have a picture in Old Testament. We have the unclean and we have the clean beast. If you would, you're not to eat an unclean beast. And it is unclean. If you would go into the tabernacle with wine or alcohol on your breath, you would die. And the Bible says that the priest may teach the people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and the clean and the unclean. This is a very important lesson. Now, the physical teaching us spiritual lessons that are very important for the people of God. Now, I think some five real simple lessons about uncleanness that we can get from this passage and others. And of course, uncleanness represents sin and the effects and reality of sin. That's where death came from. Number one, uncleanness defiles. Verse 22, whatsoever the unclean person toucheth shall be unclean. That's a pretty simple statement. But people don't believe that, do they? Do people believe that? No, people don't really believe that. They think they can read a bad book. They can be among bad people. They can hear godless words by choice, and it's okay. No. Sin defiles. Uncleanness defiles. Uncleanness makes a clean person unclean. It's pretty cut and dried. It's black and white. Now, we don't like black and white, but the Bible is black and white. Evil communications corrupt good manners, the Bible says. You have a relationship, a friendship with a bad individual, and it will bring out the bad in you. It's a choice in life. That's just the way it is. And uncleanness defiles. Now, related to that, obviously, uncleanness requires separation, the second lesson. Uncleanness requires separation. That's a major doctrine in the Bible. We had a class a couple years ago, Bible Institute class. I think we'll probably have some in January again. But we had a class on separation, and the people that were in the class, there weren't many, not a very popular teacher. But the first question, the first day of the class, I says, now how many would say that in general, in Christianity, quote unquote, you know, that's pretty broad stroke of the brush today. We're talking about evangelicalism. I said, how many out there think that separation is a minor, remote doctrine? And the class was, shared with me that from their take, from what people say, they hear Christians say, so-called Christians, new evangelicals mainly, ridiculous. That's a remote doctrine. That's insignificant. Well, that is not true at all. Separation is one of the major doctrines of the Bible and one of the most neglected doctrines in the Bible today. Now, if you don't want to be defiled, you have to make sure you separate yourself from touching a dead person. You have to make sure that you don't go into a house where there was a dead person. You have to make sure that you don't touch or go by somebody or sit on the same place that an unclean person sat. Now, we realize that the Pharisees and Sadducees, they missed the whole message. You know what I mean? And let's get to the main. Uncleanness requires separation. If you don't want to become unclean, you better not touch the unclean thing. That's all there is to it. It's as easy and as simple and as clear as that. Uncleanness requires separation. Let's look at that verse in 2 Corinthians quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14, it says, "For be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part that hath he that believeth with an infidel, an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, notice it says, come out from among them, be separate, and I will receive you. What's it saying? You can't have fellowship with God when you're unclean. Can't have fellowship with God when you're unclean. Now, I preach that in the worldly mega churches with their rock music, think they can worship a holy God with their filthy, worldly, sensual music. They're going against every principle of the Bible. Now, notice, It requires separation. You have to separate yourself from that which is unclean. Otherwise, you will become unclean. That's all you have to do, is be a part of the uncleanness, and you're unclean. That's just all there is to it. Notice the obvious. Back in Numbers, it says, verse 20, but the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. He goes into the sanctuary of the Lord, the tabernacle, and he's not clean. Whoa! You can't do that. You can't do that. What fellowship hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? The two opposites don't mix. And that's what it's saying. Uncleanness kept a person from worship. As long as they were unclean, they could not worship God, as they were to worship God. Now, the obvious is uncleanness requires cleansing. Uncleanness requires cleansing. And in Numbers 19, we have the ordinance of the red heifer. And there's a specific ordinance that they talk about. The red heifer is burnt whole. And different wood, etc., is put in the fire. And they take the ashes and they put it in water. And they have this special water of purification. When it's talking about the sprinkling of purification, it's not talking about baptism, folks. It's talking about the application of the death of Christ in the ordinance of the red heifer. And how that these ashes that represent this sacrifice that had to be sacrificed, this substitute, and its life had to be given, and they'd put these ashes and mix it with water, and they take the hyssop and they'd sprinkle it upon the person. And it was a picture of the fact that there has to be a cleansing from defilement. There has to be cleansing from a defilement, and that cleansing comes from the death of Christ. And participate when we confess our sins as a believer, and if we walk in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all evil. And it is a great picture of application of the death of Christ through the Word of God, like Ephesians chapter 5, that we're sanctified by the washing of the water by the Word. And there's this picture here of the cleansing. And you know what? That's an important picture. Now, let's put it in, as I can think of, in common terms. So somebody steals something. Okay? Is it over when they return what they stole? No, it's not over when they return what they stole. That's only part of it. Because you know what? They crossed some barriers in their soul, didn't they? They touched that which doesn't belong to them. They had possession of something that didn't belong to them. There was a defiling of their mind, and there's a defiling of their heart that is very real. God forgives, but that person needs to be cleansed by the word of God. And in their mind and in their soul. Cleansing is a really important message of the word of God. We need to be clean. We need to have our sins confessed. We need to have our thinking right to worship God. Now, there's another great lesson, and we already talked about it. To presume that you can worship a holy God while you're unclean is a horrible presumption. That's a horrible presumption. You know, sorry to say, but when it means that they're cut off from Israel, do you know what that means? That's what that means. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Now, people don't think that way anymore, do they? People don't think that way. You know, it's a sacred thing to worship God. It's a sacred thing. God is holy. And to presume to worship a holy God being unclean is very, very serious. And that person was to be cut off. Their life was to be taken because they had a very low view of God. They had a very low view of sin. They had a twisted view of themselves. All three of those things. And this is a quite a serious lesson in the Bible. Now, let's think about that. Let's think about these physical things and how serious it was. Of course, in the Old Testament, a woman was unclean when she had a child. And not that I understand all of that, but you know, there's an issue. There's, you know, issue of blood and et cetera, et cetera. And, but you know, they're unclean twice as long for a female child than for a male. I don't know. I haven't ever figured it out. But, you know, the only thing that I can think of is that lady is going to bear sinful children. And it's pictured in that birth. So let's go to the New Testament. And let's think about uncleanness. Matthew chapter 16. Actually, it's probably too big a subject to try to cover in one sermon tonight. So I'm kind of going to the application. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 6, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. False doctrine is unclean. False doctrine is unclean. It's like leaven. It has an insidious, evil, permeating ability of your soul. Has a insidious, evil, permeating ability. He says, beware of listening to the Pharisees and Sadducees, because it's like leaven. It will affect you. You touch that which is unclean and you will become unclean. That's what he's saying. What about apostate teachers? 2 John chapter, verse number 7 and 8. 2 John in your Bible. Verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world and confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Godspeed means God bless you on your way. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. He that toucheth that which is unclean will become unclean themselves. Apostate teachers are unclean. Worldly lusts, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The lusts of the world are unclean. They're not of the Father. And they will make you unclean. That's all there is to it. Unclean. You want to be worldly? You want to be around worldly people? You want to get the approval of the world? It's more than that. It will make you unclean. How about the works of the devil? Acts chapter 19. A lot of controversy today. I don't know why there is. There shouldn't be. About the devil and witchcraft and things like that. Halloween and Harry Potter. All these things. The Bible says, Acts chapter 19. It says in verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them, found it 50,000 pieces of silver. And so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Notice their attitude about that which was unclean. Don't sell it on eBay. Burn it. Burn it. Cut your ties off with it completely. Yes, it's amazing. In the day of apostasy, more and more Christians are celebrating Halloween. Did you know that? More and more, more fundamental Baptists, so-called, are celebrating Halloween. It baffles my mind. What fellowship hath Christ with Belial? There's no fellowship. You touch that which is unclean and you will become unclean. The defiling, whether it be of your mind, whether it be of your heart, whether it be of your will, whether it be of your whatever, your thinking, it is real. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 11, and it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest his light, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. And Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. This is the next step beyond separation. It is calling it out as sin, naming it, exposing it. Let's go to Deuteronomy 23. As we think of the whole issue of cleanness and uncleanness, the Jew was to not touch a dead person. If he did, he had to be unclean for a number of days. The third day he had to apply the water of purification unto him. On the seventh day he could be clean. Now he could have fellowship with God. They were not to eat unclean foods those unclean animals were garbage animals, hawks, and catfish and pigs, and these different animals that were raised in the world were raised they were raised on garbage and delighted in eating garbage. They were really strange. You know that? Now, you know, you go to places of the world where the gospel hasn't been, and some of the food there is really gross. It's really gross. And part of the reason it's really gross is because they have no sense of that which is clean and that which is unclean. And there's no difference between a garbage animal and a regular animal. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 14. Verse 14 says, "For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp, to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore, thy camp shall be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee." Now, in this context, it's talking about bodily cleanliness. It's talking about human waste. It's talking about the whole principle that the people of God were to be clean people. And that they were to be clean because God is holy. And the Jewish people and the Old Testament really pointed this out, that God is clean, that God is holy, and that their camp was to be holy. You know, sometimes it's shocking. I can't think of anybody in our church right now, but sometimes I've been shocked in the past, gone into people's houses and seen the pictures on their wall. And I thought, how can a Christian have that on their wall? Their house should be holy. Amen? Their house should be holy because they walk with a holy God. Isaiah 6 will be, I think we'll stop here, but this kind of, well, one more verse after that, Isaiah 6. We have With that background, we read about Isaiah, and he saw the Lord. Saw the Lord in his holy temple, angels saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And verse 5, then Isaiah says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Notice, unclean. He recognizes that principle that God is a holy God, and that the very fact that his lips, I don't know what he said, doesn't necessarily mean he used a swear word, but that's certainly unclean, right? Swear words are unclean. And maybe he was questioning God. I don't know. He said something, questioned God. He made some remark about making, you know, people of Israel were saying, God doesn't see. God doesn't see. But he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. As he recognized that he was unclean in the presence of a holy God. And that is the picture that is painted in the Old Testament, that there was a holy God. And that uncleanness was not appropriate to a holy God. And that thinking should permeate the believer today. It certainly doesn't permeate much of Christianity today, because the unclean and the clean are mixed in all sorts of stuff. And we need to be very careful. Now, you know, if you were singing for the Lord right behind his pulpit, and you were doing it because you have such a good talent, but you weren't living the kind of life that you should be doing, you know what? You're unclean. You're unclean. You can't worship a holy God with an unclean heart, unclean motives. Very, very clear lesson in the Bible that has been missed. And it ought to produce a very degree of carefulness in our life of what we condone, what we fellowship with, what we do, where we go, and how it will affect us, and how we need to make sure that we are cleansed before we meet with God. Whether that means we have a daily time we confess our sins, whether that means that we take it seriously, how we live, and what we're doing in our life, that church isn't a show. Church is really the result of seeking God, and we ought to be seeking God every day. Amen. And so, it's amazing how the Bible says the priest had a big job. Ezekiel chapter 44, it's another a verse otherwise in the Bible. Ezekiel 44:23, it's same in Leviticus 10:10, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. That is a very serious command to the priests of God. Of course, there's a parallel. Sunday school teacher, teacher of the Bible, soul winner, a future pastor, future missionary, preacher of the Word of God. We're not supposed to blur the lines. We're supposed to make it clear, black and white, clean and unclean, the holy and profane. We live in a day in which a lot of people don't care. They're so self-centered they don't care. In fact, they're living on both sides of the fence. But God says we need a clear picture being presented from the pulpit of what's right and what's wrong. And that is a very important guiding principle, because God is holy. I've told the story about Mr. Kunst. He was raised in Germany, migrated to Canada, got saved. He eventually went to Maranatha Baptist Bible College and went back to Germany as a missionary. He came, presented his work at our church. This is many, many years ago. And he told me a story. He says, you know, one of the hardest things for me as a German was to give up beer. He said, the day I went to Bible college was the last day I had a beer, because there was a rule you couldn't have alcoholic beverages on campus, and as a student you sign a statement that you'll not drink. So the last time I had a beer was the day I went to Bible college. And he said, you know, it was so hard for me to realize how evil drinking was. And he said, I'll tell you why. He says, because I grew up in Germany in a Lutheran home. And on Easter Sunday is when they had the first communion for the young people who got through catechism class. And the priest, which really what Lutheran pastors are, priests, the priest, Lutheran priest, would go to every house of all the children. Of course, there's a state church prayer, so there's a few of them. Go to every house on Saturday, and I don't know what he did, but he met with the parents and celebrated. And so he had a glass of wine in every house. And it wasn't long before the priest was totally inebriated. And he says, as a young man, the priest doing the most holy thing in the Lutheran church, celebrating the children, going to join the church and have the Lord's Supper, the priest was would come to our house drunk. The holy man would come to our house drunk. And he said, it confused my mind to such an extent that I had a mental block about thinking that alcohol was bad. Because in my mind, the holy man was drunk every year at the Holy Week in the Lutheran Church. And that is an illustration of the importance of the priest in the Old Testament, obviously, men of God to give a clear image of that God is holy. Amen? Because what the priest will allow, or the pastor will allow, will either give the right picture of God, or it will distort who God is. And that's the day in which we live. Day of confusion, day of lack of separation, a day in which the clean and unclean are all mixed up. That which is holy and that which is profane is not only confused, but distorted, and in which churches allow people to worship God, whether it's in immodest apparel, whether it is in worldly music, or whatever it is, because we have a holy God. Now, there's only one person that can make us clean. You know who it is? Jesus. Amen? Jesus can not only make us clean, but he will give us the power to want us to stay clean. Amen? A holy God came down from heaven to die for our sin, that we might become a holy people and have fellowship with the holy God. Maybe you're careless, young person, about this whole idea of functioning around that which is unclean. It will not only defile you, but it certainly is a horrible presumption before a holy God. May it not be so. Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight that you're a holy God. And Lord, in a day in which a world that doesn't know you is living like there is no such thing as sin or defilement, how oftentimes they just live an unclean life with no understanding of what's right and what's wrong. And Lord, I pray that we would realize that these things, though the world may think they're not serious, are serious. And that there is such a thing as that which is unclean, especially in the spiritual sense. And that we, Lord, would be people that realize that we can't touch the unclean thing because it will defile us. With heads eyes closed and heads bowed, you're here tonight and you say, you know, I've been careless. I've been careless about my communications. I've been careless about who my friends are. I've been careless about what kind of talk I listen to. I've been careless about what I've allowed in my home. I've been careless about what I allow. If you have a TV, been careless. And you realize that these things are defiling you, might be defiling your children, might be defiling your house, and you need to start practicing some separation. You need to start practicing some separation. Maybe you need to decide that you're going to get some good friends Maybe you're going to decide that there's some people and some places you can't handle. Maybe your mouth defiles your house. Maybe you let your house defiled by what's on TV. But the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight, and you need to practice some separation. And the Lord is speaking to you, and there's a decision you need to make tonight. Say, Pastor, I can't play games with sin any longer. I need to separate from it. And the Lord has spoken to your heart in a very simple way about that tonight. Anyone here? Just slip up your hand. Amen. Amen. Others? All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. Perhaps you're here tonight and you say, you know what? I am unclean, but I need to be clean. I need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me and make me clean. Make me a child of God. Wash away my sins. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need the blood of Jesus to wash away all my sins, that I might be clean before a holy God. Just lift up your hand. I can pray for you. Okay? Amen. I see some hands. Lord, pray that you'll use these simple truths from the Bible in our hearts. Help us, Lord, not to be careless. Help us to think of what's really going on in life. Pray for those who need to be saved. Thank you that your blood does cleanse us from all sin, and it's real. And we can become a holy people. We pray that you'll bless and work in these hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.